Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance.
We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. We have a fantastic guest with us today. Joel Chacko is with us today all the way from Canada, and he is a Twitter celebrity in his own right anyway. And so, Joel, I appreciate you being with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me, Jason.
Absolutely. Now, for folks that may not be aware, you are a recent convert to the faith, is that correct?
I prefer the term revert.
Revert, okay.
I was a cradle Catholic who went away for about 20 years and came back in late 2017.
Awesome. Well, we're glad to have you on the radio. We're so thrilled to have you back in the church.
Oh, well, it's wonderful to be back in the church, and now we got a job to do. We got to get more people back into the church.
That is right. So I had found you on Twitter in the Catholic Twitterverse. I liked a whole bunch of your topics and your comments, and so I thought we'd have you on. Give us a little background on who you are.
Sure. I had kind of a bit of a weird background. The name Chacko is actually it's a play off of a character I played on TV down in South America, believe it or not. So during my time away from the church, I actually moved down to Paraguay and took my family down there. And we lived there for about 2.5 years. And while I was down there, I actually started a television show, a professional wrestling television show.
Oh, wow.
I ended up due to...
You were the Dana White of Paraguay.
I was kind of the Vince McMahon.
There you go.
On the show, I played kind of the Bobby the Brain Heenan and Jimmy the Mouth of the South Heart type. So we needed a guy who could speak both languages. I barely could do that, so I ended up playing a character named Don Chacko. And the name Chacko actually comes from a region down there that was actually quite settled by a lot of Canadians. So I kind of took the mantle there and ran with it. And after I was done that show and came back, I don't know, the name stuck, worked out for me, and I always want to protect my family from doxing or anything like that for anything I do online, so it's kind of the reason why I've kind of stuck with the name, and in the wrestling world, a lot of these guys, they'll stick with their fake names as well, so I moved back to Canada in 2015, and was, you know, a bit of a tail between my legs kind of thing. We had lost a lot of our savings on making that television show. It was a critical success and a financial failure. But it wasn't until October 21st, 2017, that I officially came back into the faith. And it was kind of a longer process that God was giving me a lot of signs, and I finally started ending up to start paying attention in that fall, and over the course of about a month, I started to listen to a lot of homilies and get myself reacquainted with the faith that I, now in retrospect, realize that my catechesis growing up was not exactly the strongest. And I know that a lot of people in my generation, like I'm 40 now, a lot of people in my generation kind of have the same sort of story in terms of going to Catholic school growing up, and then you get older, and when you maybe have a resurgence of your faith, you come back and you start realizing, whoa, I didn't realize, this was a thing. I didn't know this was a thing. And, because one of the things that I bring up a lot to people is when I had my first communion, and I remember this like it was yesterday, I remember them telling us that the receiving the Eucharist on a tongue is no longer allowed. It was like they made it sound like it was a grandfathered in thing. Like, oh, the people who still do that, they did that before. They can do that because that's how it was done for them. But we receive on the hand. And so, when I came back to the church on October 21st, 2017, it was actually a Saturday, and I had realized after a long period of kind of wondering what was going on with me and my family. We were trying to figure out how to better parent our children. At one point, we had this this thing to kind of keep our hopes up. It was a dime jar that we kept on our refrigerator, and every time we'd find a dime somewhere, we'd always kind of throw it into this dime jar and make a wish, you know. And we felt that, you know, once that was filled, maybe our wishes would be granted. You know, silly woo stuff, but it was kind of something that was kind of keeping us holding on. And at that point, it was about maybe about half full. And I went to go, I was having a particularly awful day, and I found two of them in my shoes, which was a kind of a strange place. There was one in each shoe.
Yeah.
And I kind of grabbed them, and I went to go and put them into this dime jar, and it was empty. And I turned to my wife, and I said, did you empty the dime jar? She said, no, I didn't do it. And out of the corner of my eye, I could see my son. And it was just sort of kind of, you know, if there was a big rock, he'd be hiding behind it. He was, you know, he had that guilty look on his face. I turned to him, hey, little guy, did you steal the dimes? And he said, I was saving up for a video game, Dad. You know, and no, my heart just melted. I turned to my wife. I didn't even get mad at my son. I turned to my wife and I go, you know, it just kind of dawned on me that I don't think we've actually taught him that stealing is wrong. In fact, I don't know if we've taught him right from wrong in general. Like, as you know, we assume he's getting the right from wrong vibe from us, I would hope, but I don't feel like we've actually taught him a moral compass. And that kind of got my brain stirring a bit, and I started thinking more and more about it, and I thought, you know, where did I get my moral compass from? Where did this all happen? And while I was down in Paraguay, I used to have these business partners who would always kind of laugh at me because I had this innate, you know, need to pay my bills on time and be extremely honest with everybody in business, and they would say to me, like, you know, nobody else here is honest in business, so stop being such a schmuck, you know. And so I always wondered, like, well, that was part of my upbringing. Well, what was, you know, yeah, my parents taught me right from wrong, but I mean, what else got me that? And it just kind of dawned on me, like, well, the Catholic Church. And it was the first time I'd actually had like a positive thought about the Catholic Church in a very, very long time, just thinking about, well, you know, they did a good job with me. I think I'm a good person. And what was interesting was, is because I had fallen away from the faith in and around 2002, when the completely like officially like I'm done.
Sure.
In 2002, when the scandals really started to blow up, and I had no ability to, no apologetics training to defend myself. You know, I was at university. I was dating an atheist at the time. And when we broke up, I ended up moving in with other atheist roommates. And when that all came down, you know, they're like, oh, you're a Catholic. What's up with this? And I had no answer. And I had no way of defending what was going on. And my apologetics were really weak. And so I kind of gave up the faith at that point in time. And so to have this kind of first time a positive feeling towards the Catholic Church, I said to my wife, you know, we moved back to, I live in Calgary now. We moved back to Calgary. I grew up here. I thought I'd run into a bunch of people that I knew growing up. I don't. We have no social circle at all. We have no community feel at all. We've been wanting this the whole time. I was a soccer coach for my kids' team. You know, we volunteered at different things, but we just never seemed to really gel with anybody. So I decided, I'm going to look up my old church. It was like 5 minutes away from where I was living. I'm just going to kind of go see what's up, you know. And the first thing I did is I went to the website, and the website is just a beautiful, beautiful website. The lady who runs it is a former CBC editor. And they had all the videos of these homilies on there. And the very first homily that I saw from the pastor of the church was the labor of parenting. So I'm thinking, wow, this is kind of fortuitous. So I watched that. And it was incredible. It just spoke to everything I was needing at the time. Because at the time, I was wondering, man, I must be a terrible parent. Because, you know, I haven't even taught my kids, you know, right from wrong in terms of this or that. And so they had all the MP3s of their homilies on there. And I started to download them onto my phone. Now, just full disclosure, I used to be quite a regular user of marijuana, of pot. I would probably, you know, I treated it like my glass of wine at the end of the day. So put the kids to bed, make sure that the dishes are done, and then I'd go out to my shed, and I would smoke pot. And I listen to political kind of podcasts or different comedy podcasts or whatever. And what I found was is that I started having homilies on my phone, and I started listening to those. So I listen to those when I go shopping. I listen to those when I go for a walk. And they started becoming my podcasts. They started completely supplanting my podcast that I was listening to. And I also found that there, at a certain point, I was like, you know, while I was learning all this stuff, I was thinking, I probably, you know, I shouldn't be doing as much of this pot smoking, you know, but I couldn't, it was such a habit.
Sure.
That I wasn't sure how I was going to get rid of it. And so what ended up happening was that at a certain point, so I'm starting to listen to these each night and I'm taking it all in. But at a certain point, I did hit a point where there was a rock bottom moment. And so in Canada, our Thanksgiving is actually it's coming up this weekend. it's in October. And our family had actually had to postpone ours because of a death in the family that year. So it was a week later than normal. And we had done this Thanksgiving dinner at my parents' house. And my kids were acting up, and I embarrassed myself by really yelling at them in front of everybody. And the next day, I was really not sure what I was going to do. You know, I was at a really low point. I was thinking of myself as a complete failure as a father, complete failure as a husband. Things were going really bad in terms of finances and just hope. But here I was still listening to these podcasts and trying to figure things out. So, like, you know, I went the next morning. I went to go and see my father. It was actually an election day here, and we were electing our new mayor. And I saw my father, and he was having a real bad day too. He's in a wheelchair because we're not sure if it's multiple sclerosis or Lyme disease, but he was kind of swearing up a storm, putting his wheelchair in there. And so I thought, okay, you know, I just come to the doctor earlier that morning looking for antidepressants because I was at rock bottom, and the doctor wouldn't give it to me. He said, you know, I want you to go to, you know, talk to a counselor first and do this and do that. And so here I was coming to my dad, and I helped him out, and then I finally get him into his chair, and then I broke down. And I said, Dad, I feel like a failure as a father. I feel like a failure as a husband. I don't know what I'm doing. And he talked me through some stuff, and he was saying, you know, you got to stay calmer, and you got to, you know, find a way. But I didn't know where that way would come from. And so that was on a Monday, and the Tuesday was the last time I ever smoked pot. The pot in my house. That was the last time I ever did that. For some reason, I realized that my anxieties were maybe coming from that. Maybe I was relying too much on that as an escape. And it just didn't feel right anymore. Because here I was listening to more of these homilies and thinking, you know, there's more to this. And I realized finally, I'm like, look, I haven't gone back to this church yet. I haven't confessed yet. I got to do that. And so the only confession that I could make it to was that Saturday. So October 21st, 2017. And I came back, and I waited my turn, and I got there, and wow. It took me about 25 minutes to get through everything.
Wow, I'm sure.
It's been a long time.
I'm sure the people in line behind you were thrilled.
there weren't any.
Oh, okay, well, that's a plus.
This is unfortunate.
It was meant for you. Yeah.
It was meant for me, and it, you know. And I say in retrospect, I mean, like the priest that did it, you know, I'm not going to out him for anything, but it was a few times where he's like, oh no, the church doesn't care about that anymore. Well, they do, but you know, the thing is that he gave absolution at the end. I was pouring, bawling, you know, pouring tears. And I remember I came out, and actually, you know, so here, you know, you might not believe me on this, but 25 minutes of confession. It had been, the last time I confessed was before my confirmation. And I poured it all out, and my penance was 1 hour, Father.
Wow. Hour.
So
you could have gotten a little bit more than that.
I could have. Believe me, I've taken on more since, but you know, we can doubt it all we want, but I went out, I was like, I guess 1 hour, Father. So I go out, and I immediately kneel in my pew, and I said, my Our Father. And that was the moment that everything completely changed.
Wow. And
I mean, right to my core, every single thing changed in my whole life. I felt lighter. I felt cleaner. I felt alive. I felt like I had hope again. And all from one Our Father and one confession.
Yeah, the power of the confessional is probably the most underrated sacrament that we have.
Absolutely. So this was they only ran this confession once a week on a Saturday afternoon, and they had a 5 o'clock Saturday vigil mass, and my mom accompanied me there. And to give kind of a background, my entire family had fallen away. My parents stopped going in the mid-2000s. My siblings, none of them were going. And they, I've been told afterwards, like, you were the last person we would ever thought coming back. I was never an atheist, but I was definitely a vocal agnostic. And I came back to, and my mom drove me. She wanted to come for some reason. I'm so glad she did, because I went back to the car, and again, tears just streaming down my face, just thinking, all I could think was just, wow, this is incredible. Like, I felt loved. And I'm seeing people coming in to go to this mass, and I turned to my mom and I was like, do you want to go to mass? And she said, I would love that. So we went, and we sit down in the pews, and I'm kind of like, a little nervous. I'm like, let's sit in the back. And sitting behind us was the parents of two kids, of a guy I grew up with in elementary school. Sitting in front of us was the lady who was the choir director for the children's choir that I grew up singing in at that parish. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'm like, here I was looking for my community, and it was right here all along. And I had left it, and I came back to it, and I felt immediately just right in there. And they were so happy to see us. They had said, we wonder what had happened to you guys. What happened, all of that, just so good to see you. Everybody's so happy to see us. And I went and I received communion for the very first time in over 20 years. It had been a long, long time since I'd gone.
Yeah, well, thanks be to God.
Yeah, man. And it was, I received it in the hand, but that doesn't matter, man. It was everything I needed.
It must have been a shock. You would have, if it had been that long, you would have missed the all the responsorial changes. I'm sure that was a shock. You didn't know what you were doing.
Well, here's the thing, man. Like, kind of an epilogue. I've come a long way since then. Now, I love all the people in that parish, and I was actually a daily mass goer starting in November of that year. I needed it. I needed to hear the homily. I needed to hear the gospel. I needed the Eucharist every day. There was I don't know the name of the saint, but I'd heard it in a homily one time about a saint who used to say, he used to go to mass every day and would say, Lord, press down on my head, lest I grow horns. And it always stuck with me because I thought, I got to keep going here every day because I don't trust myself to not fall apart again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need it. And so, amazing transformation happened after that. My mom started coming back with me. Now, she had fallen away in a way. She's, started doing a lot of that New Age stuff, going on shamanic retreats and just New Age woo, And, people in my family had all kind of gone their separate ways. But it was... shortly after that, I just started feeling this complete need to kind of reacquaint myself, recatechize myself, read the New Testament every single day. And I had a friend of mine who I had met online, and he was the one friend out of all my group, all my social circle that had been a Catholic through and through and stayed with it. And he told me, because he was a lawyer, he would actually... ride the public transit to work every day, and he would pray the rosary on his commute in front of everybody. I thought, that's amazing. Like, I work from home, and if you're doing that, what's my excuse? So I taught myself how to do how to actually pray the rosary using the Laudate app. And I kind of had to force myself, you know, not quite knowing, you know, it took a lot of trial and error to figure it out. You know, about a month in, you're realizing, oh, I'm supposed to be meditating on the mysteries here. and it was such a beautiful journey, because once I started doing the rosary every day, probably my two biggest vices completely disappeared from my life. And, you know, that would be, any proclivity towards, looking at any kind of online pornography, and, smoking marijuana. I have not done any of those things since, not once.
What a beautiful testimony. I appreciate you being on with us. That was a fantastic story. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley. We have Joel Chacko with us. Stay tuned. I have a ton of questions for you to unpack, all of that. So, this is Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Join Jason Bramley of Catholic Conversations on a religious journey across Greece, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. This 9-night, 10-day tour begins and ends in Athens, starting with 5 nights on land, followed by a 3-night cruise. The final night is back in Athens to bring this journey to a close. For more information on this spiritual trip, call Ben McKenna, 309-922-1758.
Did you know that you can donate to Catholic Spirit Radio through your IRA? If you are 70 and a half or older, you can make a charitable transfer of IRA assets, also known as a QCD, a qualified charitable distribution, which is treated as a gift to Catholic Spirit Radio and for which you will receive tax benefits in return. If you make a QCD, you receive a credit against those pesky required minimum distributions, also known as RMDs, that you otherwise have to take from your IRA annually. Your qualified charitable distribution is excluded from taxable income, which may reduce the amount of Social Security benefits which are otherwise subject to income tax. As you plan for 2020 or even 2021, we encourage you to consider making a gift of IRA assets to Catholic Spirit Radio. You'll receive these tax benefits even if you do not itemize. If you're interested in donating to Catholic Spirit Radio through your IRA, please contact your tax advisor.
We are back at the Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Joel Chacko is with us. We had a great first segment. He was telling us a little bit about his reversion to the faith. If you missed the segment, go back and listen to us on Podbean or on Apple iTunes, or as always, you can download the Catholic Spirit Radio app. Joel, again, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
So I have a ton of questions for you. It's a fantastic story, tons of information there. The first question I guess I have for you is, maybe you can, so you're from Canada. Obviously we're here in the United States, and I'll be honest, you know, we tend to get in our own bubble, and Twitter for me has really opened a lot of different, you know, just the fact that there's a lot of different things out there. I see you and some other folks that are on Twitter that are from Canada, and I guess it was interesting kind of at first when you started posting, you know, political, commentary or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, there's, you know, there's like politics outside of, you know, Trump and the Democrats and stuff that goes on. What's the state of the Catholic Church in Canada? You know, how many folks are Catholic, or, you know, do you have any of that kind of, just to give us a background? In the United States, I think technically there's like a third in Illinois or at least describe themselves as Catholic. Do you have any idea kind of in your area,
reach? I don't know if I have the full stats. I don't know if I've actually looked into it so much. I know from a previous conversation with my wife, when we were contemplating different cities, if we ever were to move, we would look up what the demographics were in different areas to see what kind of a Catholic, outreach we have. But
would you say actually? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say the thing that I did notice is that among the Christian contingents in all the cities, Catholic is still the number one group in them. So I know in Calgary where I live, it's a pretty strong community, but it's a lot. There's still a lot of work to be done. You know, like when you go to an Easter or a Christmas mass, it's kind of, I'm sure it's the same sort of thing where you are, where all of a sudden the population of the church seems to magically triple.
Yeah, it's tenfold. Yeah, absolutely. Mother's Day is a big one too. Mother's Day is a big one.
Yeah. So my observations aren't always going to be the best because since my wife actually converted this Easter, and so after her conversion, I mean she loves it, and it was only a few months ago that we actually made the formal decision that we were going to pull ourselves from the Novus Ordo Mass that we were attending 5 minutes away from our house to go to the Latin Mass led by the Fraternity of St. Peter, FSSP, which is about 35 minutes away from our house. And that one is actually getting more and more attendance as we go. And
yeah, I saw a stat the other day that there's currently like 530 different locations for Latin Mass in the United States, which obviously outranks every other country by a landslide. But I think Canada was the second. Is Canada, is it more or less Christian than the United States, would you say? Or is it about basically this? I mean, are we pretty similar?
Actually, no. I would say it's a lot less.
A lot
more secularized. It's I would say it's a very difficult time to be a Christian in Canada. And you know, you brought up about the politics side of things. Like, I had a long conversation with my spiritual director, who's the lead Latin Mass priest at our church, about this upcoming election and how I have a deep problem with it. You know, it is a very difficult decision to make because the liberals, or I guess would be kind of like the Democrats, led by Justin Trudeau, who is a Catholic in name only, and I don't mean to bash him about that.
He's blackface and paint only, too, right?
You know, if only that was the worst thing he'd done, you know?
Yeah.
But he's literally taken hundreds of millions of our tax dollars and used them to promote abortions in third world countries. And there's a foreign aid budget of $6 billion, which doesn't sound like much. I'd buy like one airplane in the United States. But for us, it's a big deal because we're only like 37 million people. And when the liberals are going to be spending that, a good chunk of that goes towards global population causes, including contraception and abortion in the third world. And not even just that, but like propaganda campaigns to make it legal in places where it isn't.
Wow.
Now, when I was living in Paraguay, that is a country where abortion, thanks be God, is still illegal. And so having come from living in a country where it was to back to a country where it's openly promoted. And here's something that you guys may not, your listeners may not realize, is that Canada doesn't have free speech laws. That's a big misconception about Canada, that we're that close to you guys. We don't have free speech. And so we have hate speech laws. We have our own blasphemy laws, but unfortunately it only protects one group and not ours. And we have, we call it the free speech bubble here in Alberta, in my province. It's around every abortion clinic that we are not allowed within a block and a half to do any sort of even peaceful protest. If you get in within a block and a half, there's a set distance that if you are within that zone, you will be arrested.
Wow. Yeah, I listened to a lot of Steven Crowder, who's, was he half Canadian, half U.S., or
yeah,
he's dual citizenship, and he talks a lot about comedians that have been jailed in Canada.
That's correct. In Vancouver, in fact. Yeah, there was a comedian out there. His name is Guy something or other, and he was taken to the British Columbia Human Rights Tribunal and was forced to, I think he had to pay a heckler $15,000, which, you know, again, it's not much, but it sends a message.
Sure.
And it's getting worse. I mean, that was like 2005. It's much worse now. And there's not a time, like, you ask about how we are compared to the States. Like, we just got back from Idaho. We just did a drive down to Sandpoint, Idaho, on the weekend. And, you know, one of the things that we met a lot of people who were around that area, a lot of great families that are homesteading and homeschooling. And there's still a live faith there. And back in April, we went down to Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina for a trip. And actually, I met with my old podcast co-host while I was down there. And I was saying to my wife the whole time, because I had to drive about 2 hours or an hour and a half maybe to get out to go see this guy where he was at. And I'm passing all of the billboards down there where it was either, you know, insurance sales, places that sell fried food, or something religious, you know, something about Christ. And I actually think that there's something to that. I mean, when you see the cross everywhere, when you see people actually being unafraid to talk about their faith, it does a lot for you mentally and emotionally, because here it just feels like you can't have that conversation. You're just not really allowed. And I just do it anyway.
Yeah. to your point about your friend that was saying the rosary on the public transit system, that has to be a conversation starter for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's all types of opportunities we get given to start them. And he started doing that. And I've actually taken his lead and prayed my rosary in public a few times. one time actually while going into the courthouse to go and pay a traffic ticket. and it's kind of funny about that, because he got me going on doing praying the rosary every single day. And I remember I was reading about it, and there was a lot of people saying, you know, to encourage yourself to be able to do it, Our Lady will pull some strings for you, you know, just to kind of prove to you that she's listening. And it's really funny. I haven't told this one that many times, but it's a good story. My first thing that I started doing is I thought, well, it felt a little weird to ask for something material, or, you know, it felt a little weird to kind of ask for an intention for something, you know, worldly or here. But I did it anyway. And the season for barbecuing was coming up. And our barbecue was a complete hazard. You know, you cook burgers on it, and that thing would light up in flames. It was going to light our whole house on fire. And at the time, I was kind of, you know, trying to be a little bit of a penny pincher, and I sort of thought, maybe I'm going to pray for a new barbecue. I'm going to ask Our Lady for a little bit of help for a new barbecue. And I started looking in, you know, little catalogs and trying to figure out which one I was going to get. And that week, my parents actually had my sister move back in with them to kind of help out with some of the health concerns and the financial stuff. And when she moved back in, she brought her and her husband brought their barbecue. My parents called me up that week and said, hey, you want our barbecue for free?
Wow.
I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. But that's a coincidence. It couldn't have been that.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, and this is dumb, and I don't recommend your listeners to do this, but, you know, like, I want to see if this is for real here again. So I asked for something a little bit more clear. I asked for hockey tickets. Nobody in my family has, you know, access to hockey tickets, so I wanted hockey tickets to go see the Calgary Flames play. So I'm praying, and I'm just kind of winking while I'm saying it. You know, it's dumb early revert stuff, but, you know, so I started asking for hockey tickets. And I go to pick up my father-in-law from the airport. He's coming in for Christmas. And I'm unpacking his bags from the car. This is just a couple days later. I'm unpacking his bags from the car. And my neighbor, who I never talked with, I would just like wave to and say hi to every so often, he comes jogging across the street. He goes, hey, Joel, do you want some hockey tickets? And he goes, it's a nice game. I can't go. Would you like to go? And so I'm like, whoa. I ended up taking my father-in-law to the game. And there is I knew it was her, but here's the kicker. Here's the epilogue. So my son, later that summer, this guy across the street, he separated from the mother of his son. And he'd get custody every other weekend or whatever. And this son would come, and he would play out in the street, play some street hockey with my son. And sometimes they'd go in for snacks or whatever. And my son comes in one day and says, hey, Dad, do you ever think you'll ever get a rosary tattoo? I'm like, that's a very strange, specific question, son. That is a very, why do you ask? And he says, well, because a kid across the street, his dad has a rosary tattoo on his arm.
Wow.
The guy who gave me the tickets.
Wow.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the best things that I've ever asked for from my intentions when I pray the rosary have come true, and they just they destroy any free barbecue or free hockey tickets. And that was the conversion of my entire family.
Absolutely. You know, you bring up, you brought up earlier, you know, signs. I often think that, you know, I wish God would just hit us over the head with signs at times. I'm sure that, you know, we walk past things every day that are meant for us that we just don't see. And I think we have good company when it comes to the apostles. I oftentimes in reading the Gospels, I'm like, geez, these guys were a bunch of dopes. I mean, if you just couldn't get it, you know, I'm sure Jesus was frustrated constantly. What were some of the aha moments in your reversion and some of the signs that really stuck with you?
Well, one that I, in between, so before I actually came in fully, I didn't bring it up earlier, but there was a moment that I talk about sometimes, which was when I used to go to smoke my pot in the shed. I used to always do it with the door open, and you know, just to, you know, let the light in or whatever. And I would do it at the shed because it was away from the house. I didn't want my kids smelling it on me. I didn't want my, you know, there's a shame attached. And well, I mentioned about how we had to postpone our Thanksgiving because of a death in the family.
Right.
And so I was out there and I was listening to a conspiracy podcast at the time, unrelated, but it was something I was listening to. And for whatever reason, this one night I decided to, I just let the door close on it. I was feeling real rough. You know, I was just feeling real down in the dumps. And, you know, I didn't even bother to open the door to the shed. I was just kind of in that mode of, I don't even deserve light right now. And to preface, ever, and I started back when I was in university, but I never once, ever in my whole entire life hallucinated anything while smoking marijuana. That's just not what it did. And so this door closes and I was having a smoke and all of a sudden I hear this scritching, scratching on the roof of this shed. And it sounded like a little, like maybe like a critter, like a raccoon or something. Like it was kind of a violent scratching. It was not like a cat, because a cat would be kind of soft pawed. This thing was like this, a bunch of scratching noise, and it was really a
heavy.
It was heavy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on up there? I didn't want to open the door right away. I didn't want to see some sort of badger or something. Like, I didn't know what was going on up there. And so I finally opened up the door, and in this weird kind of Wizard of Oz Technicolor moment, you know, when she opens the door and she's she's over the rainbow and then it opens it up and it's all kind of brightly colored and stuff. I open my door and my entire backyard is completely filled with robins, the birds, like the brightest orange and darkest brown. Like it looks like a cloud of monarch butterflies, but they were fluttering around in my yard. And as soon as I opened the door, they all settled down on the lawn, in my garden, on my fence, on my porch, everywhere. There was easily 3 dozen, maybe 4 dozen of these things. It was packed. And they all, once I opened the door, they all settled down and stayed put. And I don't know if any of your listeners are former Simpsons viewers, but there was this episode of The Simpsons where Homer was going to pick up Maggie, the baby, from a daycare, and they all the kids had gotten their suitors back, and it was this eerie moment where he goes to go pick up his kid, and they're all kind of looking at him while they're all sitting on their suitors.
Just staring at him, yeah.
Yeah, that's what ended up happening. All of a sudden, I'm looking, and there's all these birds in my yard, and I'm actually a little bit shaken by this. I'm a little bit scared at this point. And I just kind of walk past them all, and I decided to write it all down, you know. And that was on September 21st, 2017. So that was exactly a month before I came back into the church, because I was thinking to myself, well, what does this mean? You know, I started going, maybe I should really cut off on this stuff, because maybe I'm going to die someday here. You know, like maybe this is the sign that, you know, like, hey, buddy, you know, this is what it means at the end. You see this weird moment that you never see, because when I looked from my deck, I could see that they were not in any other yard. They weren't on the street outside. They were all in my yard. And I always associated robins with the springtime, and I really rarely saw one or two of them together. Very rare did I ever see more than one or two. But here I was seeing like almost 40 of them in my yard. And I didn't know what it was supposed to mean, but I felt like it had to mean something for me. And it planted a seed. Because it was shortly after that I started changing what I was listening to going out to the shed to the homilies. Now, a month later, that week before I came back into the church, I had one of my clients for the second time dispute me on an invoice that I had sent to him. And I never lie and never cheat on my invoices. I am extremely meticulous on how accurate they are. But this guy had, this was the second time. And at the time I was like, that's enough. I'm not going to put up with this. So I said, thank you, sir. But we are done here. And I returned him the remainder of his retainer. And I was done, and I was closing him off, and I wasn't answering his phone calls, and I wasn't answering his texts, and I wasn't answering his emails. I was Mr. Tough Guy. and I decided that we're done, but he wasn't done with me. he started being like a jilted ex-girlfriend. He started calling all the people that we had as mutual contacts, going, can you please get Joel to call me? Can you please get Joel to call me? And I ended up, I told you I went back to the church on that Saturday. Well, I said to my wife, we're going to drive out to Banff, which is this mountain resort town close to Calgary. I said, we're going to go out to Banff tomorrow. We need to have a family day. Because before that, I was working 7 days a week. I never took Sundays off. And I said to my wife, after I came back, after that first confession, I said, I'm never working another Sunday again. That is never happening again. That day is for the Lord, and it's for our family. So that day, I drove up to Banff with the family, and normally would drive up there. My youngest, she would hate these long drives and would cry and scream and get, you know, like really upset during them the whole time. So I would always say that, you know, it would always turn into one of those, like, you know, horrible, you know, family vacation type, you know, debacles where we'd pull over the car and I'm taking everybody home and blah, blah, blah. That anger, for whatever reason, that Sunday wasn't there. God had taken that wellspring of anger out of me. He'd amputated it out of me. And all of a sudden, I was a lot calmer. And instead of getting upset and, you know, going, what are you quiet down back there? I was starting to pray some Hail Marys just to kind of find a way to get calm again. And like my dad had said, get calmer. And so I started praying the Hail Marys, and within 3 minutes, my daughter was back to normal again. She used to cry 45 minutes at a time. 3 minutes, she was done, and we drove out, and we had one of the greatest family days we'd ever had. This is the first day after my confession. I knew something had changed. And when we're in the parking lot of this place, I get a text message from that client. And it's like, you know, hey, man, will you please call me? Will you please call me? And I turned to my wife, and I said, I pointed upwards and I said, you know, yesterday he forgave me. And then I pointed at my phone and I said, so I'm going to forgive this guy. And so I did. And I said, not going to talk work with you today, but we'll talk tomorrow morning. And he was so thankful. He's like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, like, he's like, oh, you're in Banff, go to this restaurant. No, I'll talk to you tomorrow. It'll be great. So I talked to the guy the next day and I said to him, I said, please never do that to me again. Never dispute, never call me a liar. Again, when it comes to my invoices, if you promise you won't do that to me, I promise I will never do this again to you. And we had a deal. And you want to talk about a sign from God. So I went back to my pastor and I kind of gave him my past and I gave him my business past. And we kind of realized that at some point, man, there was something clinging on. There was a little bit of an oppression. If you anybody's listened to Father Ripperger, there was a little bit of an oppression going on. And so he did a minor exorcism prayer over me and gave me a blessing. And just like I felt after I'd had that confession, I walked up to my car and I felt like dancing. I felt like amazing, just amazing. I just felt like $1 million. But I go to open my car door and I get a searing back pain all of a sudden, like somebody had stabbed me in the back with a red hot poker. And long story short, a couple days later, I find out I got a case of shingles. Which, if anybody's had shingles, is one of the most painful things, man. It is excruciating.
Yeah, that is not good.
And so I couldn't be around my kids. I couldn't hold my kids. I couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden now, I'm having to call my clients and say, I'm not even allowed to work for the next 10 days. I'm a writer. I'm not allowed to work. I gotta take it easy. And I told a few of the clients, and I told this guy. And he's like, no problem, Joel. I'll be here for you when you get back. You just let me know exactly when you're done. And we'll get back to you, you know. And, he's a big talker, but I was like, oh, you know, we'll see what happens. Over that 10 days, that's when I discovered videos of Archbishop Fulton Sheen on YouTube. I discovered Sensus Fidelium. I read the entire book of John for the very first time in my life. And this was the beginning of November. So we're talking a very short period of time here at the beginning of my reversion. And after I had, after the 10 days were up, and during that 10 days, I realized how much I missed the Eucharist because I was just starting to go to daily mass at that point. And I realized how much I needed it in my life. And so I got a chance for 10 days. God gave me a chance on my back to truly catechize myself, to learn, you know, to read up and to figure out what I've been missing all this time. And as soon as I got back from it, I called this client back up and he goes, Joel, I'm so happy to hear from you. I've been stockpiling stuff for you. And he unloaded on me a giant pile of work that was the equivalent of $15,000 Canadian worth of work. And I was blown away. I didn't know even how I was going to be able to finish it.
Wow. Well,
I typically before when I was smoking pot every day, I'd be like, oh, I can finish one article a day. Well, this was a work order of 20 articles. And I managed to start doing four a day. By the grace of God, my production levels went through the roof. That call to that client saved my entire year. It saved my month, it saved my year. And then I finished it up and he comes back with another 12 grand. It totally saved my whole Christmas. I was able to help my family out. And I don't want to get all Joel Osteen about this, but I mean, that was a major shift. And it was a major shift because we weren't sure how we were going to make our bills. Well, that was then, and we never thought we would ever be able to afford a home. We never thought we would be able to ever, you know, get ahead. Well, I'm standing in a house that I ended up buying last November.
Wow.
And we had, everything changed.
Yeah, the Lord definitely works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, so, you know, doing a rosary every day, you know, you don't want to be asking for money or nothing, but boy, oh boy, you know, it has changed my whole outlook and my whole ability to trust in Him. That, you know, I'm just along for the ride.
Absolutely, aren't we all? We're listening to Catholic Spirit Radio on 89.5. This is Jason Bramley with Joel Chacko on Catholic Conversations. We will be back right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Join Jason Bramley of Catholic Conversations on a religious journey across Greece, following in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul. This 9-night, 10-day tour begins and ends in Athens, starting with 5 nights on land, followed by a 3-night cruise. The final night is back in Athens to bring this journey to a close. For more information on this spiritual trip, call Ben McKenna, 309-922-1758. We are back, Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5. Joel Chacko is with us all the way from Canada. If you missed the first couple segments, go back and listen to us on Podbean or on Apple iTunes. Joel, thanks again for being with us.
No, I'm loving this. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. We were talking a little bit before about signs and about things that impacted you to change your life. What are you doing these days moving forward? How has this kind of affected your outlook?
My line of work is I actually work in, I write about publicly traded companies. And it's made me a little bit more discerning about which ones I do. I've had to have, you know, a couple of conversations about that. I don't know if you've been following the stock market in Canada, probably not, but I mean, one of the biggest industries right now is, legalized cannabis. And there's a lot of these, corporations that are out there doing that. Now I have to go to all my clients and say, you can't send me those ones that are just all promoting recreational cannabis use. I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Here in Illinois, we're going to have recreational cannabis come January 1.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing an article on my take on that. I'm especially as somebody who is a former user. So I'm going to be writing it on a blog called, Siova Virtus, S-I-O-V-A-V-I-R-T-V-S. It's a friend of mine who's running it. And, I'm going to be writing an article about how Catholics can look at cannabis. It's a nuanced thing, man. It's a very nuanced thing. And so, you know, while I can look at it and go, you know, you're going to weigh the pros and cons, like, if it's taken care of by a corporation, then at least it's not going into the hands of violent criminals and gangs, right? But then at the same time, you're like, well, what about, you know, abuse of it? And what are they doing to their heads? Like, you know, I had a priest tell me that he had met with a lot of people in mental health institutions, and a lot of them had it triggered by just one time.
Yeah. Having
it. And so as a father, as a husband, as a provider, I can never do it again. Like, not even once. Right? I can't even take the risk. Even though I know, like I said before, I never hallucinated on it or I never did any of that stuff. I got to know my limits. Well, now my limit's zero.
Yeah.
And when it comes to, the nuances of it, well, one of the things that I do appreciate about it is the medicinal side of it, is if they are able to extract things out of it and properly regulate it and control the dosages of it and do some research on it. There is some good stuff up there. Like, I don't know if you've heard about what's called CBD.
Yeah.
So it's non-psychoactive. It helps people with their anxiety. It helps them with pain relief. I'm pro CBD. I think it's great. I think as long as it's done right, and actually it can be derived from industrial hemp. So, it's changed how my outlook on my work and how I write about things and how I choose my clients. And but I did do a podcast after my reversion with a Protestant friend of mine. I ended up closing it off after 21 episodes. It's a good podcast, though. I mean, I think it's a good meeting point for people to come in. And I had a lot of letters from people that were saying, because of our talks, they found their faith again. And I had quite a few people actually to reach out to me and go, so how do I join the Catholic Church?
Wow. Well, you must have been reaching people.
Yeah, well, we had an audience. I wouldn't say it was too large. But, 900 listeners, that's not bad.
It's a good start for only 21 podcasts. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was cute, and we left it out there. So it's called Buck and Choco. And so my buddy, who goes by the name of Uncle Buck online, and I go by Joel Choco. We had actually done a secular podcast together back in 2017, where we interviewed a lot of different people. And I don't highly recommend people going back to it because it's not a good indication of what I'm like now. But if you want to see where somebody like myself can come from, it was called Here's What I Don't Get. And I was the host of that, I think, for the first 24 episodes of that before I kind of handed it off to somebody else. That was what I was doing for a while. So we would go back and forth, presenting on Buck and Choco. We would take turns on who brought in the subject matter for that episode. And I would always try to put a little Catholic spin on it to make sure that, I was very clear, that I'm in the one true faith and, the one true church. It's a tough one, man. Like, making that conversation with a friend while still, you got to have that compassion for them, while at the same time, you don't want to acquiesce to any of their, just misgivings, like heresies, I guess would be the better word for it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one, right? Like, getting out there and being Catholic and unapologetically so, it can be it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And as you've seen on Twitter too, man, the traditional Catholics and that whole community, not the best with PR sometimes. Sometimes it can be a little bit harsh with people, and it's not always the best way to convert. And I think the best way to convert is to just live it. And I think that's what happened with my family, is all of a sudden they got, Joel over here, who used to be quite a angry, opinionated, short-fused guy, all of a sudden has a lot more patience and a lot more charity and a lot more time to help out each other. And my whole household has completely changed. Like, we fight way less. And my wife and I, she prays the rosary now with me every day. And my son sees us do it. My daughter sees us do it. And they come with us to Mass. I bring my daughter during the week sometimes to Mass. And my son now goes to a very Catholic private school. It's only a 2-day a week thing, so we actually homeschool and do this kind of cooperative group. And so there's been a lot of major changes in the Choco household.
Yeah. Now you have a new podcast that you're working on. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to be putting it out probably in the next month or so. It'll be a podcast, maybe a YouTube channel. I'd like to do some interviews myself and get some other testimonies, because as much as I like giving this testimony because I feel it's helpful for people to hear, I always like hearing other people's testimonies. My favorite testimonies to hear actually are, I like talking to priests and hearing about their calling.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite conversations to have. And if I can get more of those on there, I think those are really good to hear as well. But I'm a big fan of Fulton Sheen, so my Twitter handle is As We Ought, and that's going to be the name of the show as well, As We Ought.
Yeah, so Fulton Sheen was born and raised just like 10 miles up the road from us here.
Oh, really?
In Bloomington.
Really?
Yeah,
cool.
From El Paso, Illinois. So
oh, wow.
We
okay.
Just recently, I'm sure you're aware, we just recently got his remains back from New York.
Yep.
So yeah, absolutely. So we're continuing the process. So yeah, he's a hometown boy, I guess, so to speak. He's right.
Oh, that's so cool.
Right,
yeah,
down the road.
He's
so.
Such a man ahead of his time too. You know, just an amazing evangelist. He was the best.
Yeah.
They still hand up. They still hold up to this day, man. Every episode of Life is Worth Living is worth watching.
Yeah, you watch it today, and you're absolutely right. You think, well, he had to have recorded this yesterday, because it just is so relevant that, you know, it seems like it's more relevant today than it would have been back in the, you know, 50s when he recorded them.
Absolutely. And so my point with this show, a lot of Catholic media today can be quite negative. It's a lot of stuff about, you know, what's going on in the Vatican, and look at these, you know, look at this lavender mafia, and all these things are negative. And as a Catholic who's trying to do his best, I don't have control over a lot of those things. So I wanted to kind of focus on the things that we ought to do, because there's this, I'm going to paraphrase the quote, but Fulton Sheen has this quote where he says, you know, I think he was talking about capitalism and communism at the time, but he was saying, you know, capitalism promotes do as you want, or do as you will. And communism or totalitarianism, it promotes do as you must. But as Catholics, we should do as we ought. And I always thought that was a really good ethos to live by, because, you know, so many times we hear, you know, we think to ourselves, well, this is legal or this is illegal. Like, I mean, I talked about pot, you know, it's legal. It doesn't make it right to do for me, you know,
right.
So I ought not to. And so I wanted to have something that was a little bit more positive and talking about the virtues and how to combat vices and really kind of stick to the things that, you know, us lay Catholics can do in our day-to-day lives to improve ourselves, to improve our community, and to really make a good testimony out there to everyone that, you know, us Catholics are pretty good to be around.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're living our faith properly.
Absolutely. We become the best evangelists when we do it that way. You're absolutely right. Man, I appreciate you coming on with us. Hopefully the podcast takes off and it's a huge success, and we can have you back on and update us on how things are going.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Jason. I really appreciate it being on here.
Absolutely.
I love talking Catholic faith with everybody.
Absolutely. Keep your head down on Catholic Twitter so you don't get it blown off.
Thanks, man. God bless you.
Absolutely. God bless you. You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley and Joel Chacko on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5.
You've been listening to Catholic Conversations with Jason Bramley on Catholic Spirit Radio 89.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the generous support of Meyer Bramley Insurance, serving Illinois, Missouri, and Kansas. Meyer Bramley Insurance can be reached online at mbi.agency or via phone at 844-890-2626. Catholic Conversations, where we talk about faith, family, and finance. Download our podcasts at catholicspiritradio.com.